Turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're continuing our thoughts on having fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with those of kindred spirit. John had fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and he is inviting us, as well as those to whom he is writing, to have fellowship with them. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." In John chapter 2, in verse 21, it says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that there is no lie in the truth." I read verse 21 in chapter 2 to emphasize the fact that he is not writing to those that are ignorant of the Word. He is not writing to those that are not knowledgeable of the truth. He is writing to those who know the truth. And he is inviting them to have fellowship with them. So when he says, "I have not written unto you because ye," who is the ye referred to here? It's the little children in verse 13. It's the fathers in verses 13 and 14. And it's the young men in verses 13 and 14 as well. And he says that you don't know the truth, and I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know the truth. The word "know" there is not gnosko, but oida. Hoida. It has a little H on the front of it in pronunciation. And that's the word for truth that is certain knowledge. These had certain knowledge. They had been established in the truth. Now, what is the truth? Well, we know the Bible is true. The Word of God says that it's the will of God for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It would be better translated, it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to knowledge, come to the knowledge of truth. In other words, the whole Word of God. That's the truth of the Word of God. But in the Word of God, there is a portion of it that is known as the truth. There's a definite article, the, which points to a portion of the Word of God that is significant. And that's what John is referring to in this passage. Now, what does that truth refer to? Well, in verse 2 of John, 1 John 1, it says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." What is the truth? It's the knowledge of that which pertains to the life, which is the same thing as life for the age, or age-lasting life. The truth also pertains to the promise, which you see in chapter 2 and verse 25, and which is also referred to as eternal life. So the truth is a reference to truths pertaining to the life for the coming age. Millennial truth. Ruling and reigning truth. In John 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of the truth is come, He will guide you in all the truth, and He will show you things to come." The truth pertains to things that are coming, which is the millennial reign of Christ. And what John is doing is he is inviting the fathers, the little children, and the young men to have fellowship with Him pertaining to the age to come. Let's talk about His kingdom. Let's talk about ruling and reigning. Let's talk about being faithful to the Lord. Let's talk about pleasing God the Father by living by faith. And so, this is what it pertains to. It pertains to things to come. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, Pilate is questioning Jesus. And Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Now here is the definite article, "thee" before truth. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." This is in the present tense. So who is it that hears the truth? All of those who are of the truth are the ones who hear His voice in the present tense. Now, who are they? Well, in John 10, verse 27 and 28, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." Who is of the truth? The sheep. And the sheep are the ones who follow Him. Let me continue this reading here. I hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them age-lasting life. That's what the truth pertains to. It pertains to life for the age. In John 10 and verse 16, he says, "And other sheep have I," or "I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." That's a reference to you and to me. We are listening to the word of the truth, and if we have ears to hear and eyes to see, we will respond. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study," or "give diligence, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What should we be doing as believers? We should be giving diligence to present ourselves approved unto God. We're saved. How is our performance? How are we doing in our faithfulness to the Lord? Well, one of the things that we need to be doing is rightly dividing the truth. And this has the definite article before it. The studying of the Word of God is important. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved or enter the kingdom." What should we do? We should have a love for the truth. We should desire it. I have been in many places and have had fellowship with people who respond to kingdom truth or life for the age or that life. And they have a hunger for that truth. And it is not quenched. And when we go to Chattanooga, what are we talking about when we're talking about spiritual things? We're talking about kingdom truth. And so we have a love for the truth. And we know that in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned into fables." We need to realize the fact that we can be turned away from the truth pertaining to the coming kingdom. And we will, and the reason is because we are not willing to endure sound doctrine. Now, these truths are not on the surface of the Word of God. These are hidden truths. These are known as mysteries of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says that Jesus in that hour rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. For us to understand these truths, we don't have to be educated, we don't have to be prudent, and we don't have to have super intelligence. We don't have to have wisdom. We don't have to have a college education. We don't have to have a seminary degree. In fact, God delights in revealing these truths to people who have nothing to, no means to glory in their ability to manipulate the Bible and so forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's God's opinion about wisdom and prudence. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? The scribe is the one who was knowledgeable in the Word of God. Ezra was a scribe. He dedicated his heart to the knowledge of the Word of God and to teach it and to do it. But where is the scribe or the professional Bible student? In 1 Corinthians 1:26, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. When you see that John is writing to the little children, to the fathers, to the young men, we see the Word of God saying, many are called, but few are chosen. We have the little children, the fathers, and the young men. The little children is a picture and a type of those who are chosen. We'll see that a little later. And the reason for all of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, the fathers know Him. I want to reflect upon what does it mean, or what is the significance of writing to the fathers. Okay? In 1 John 2:13, He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. Who do the fathers know? They know Jesus Christ. The personal pronoun Him is a reference to Jesus Christ. What is the significance of the fathers? Well, the fathers were the wise person, the mature, the well-experienced person, a teacher. In Proverbs 4:1, Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. The fathers are those who are wise because of experience and because of their age. And they are the ones who teach the children. In Proverbs 13:1 it says, A wise son heareth his father's instruction. So the fathers are teachers. So he is actually inviting teachers to come and have fellowship with them. What example is the fathers? They are the wise and the prudent. The fathers are the wise and the prudent. They are among the wise and the prudent. In fact, I associate the fathers with the wise. And then I associate the young men with the prudent or the educated ones. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, he says, I have written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's quite a bit of credentials. They are strong. I would say they're probably strong in the Lord. And the Word of God abides in them. They know the Word of God. It doesn't say that the truth abides in them. It just says that the Word of God abides in them. They do know the Word. And ye have overcome the wicked one. In other words, there's a certain amount of living by faith. Because it's through faith that we overcome the world. In Matthew chapter 19, we find something very interesting. Verse 16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Or age-lasting life. What is significant here is this. This man appreciated life for the age. The others around him were not asking those questions. This man was knowledgeable. In fact, in verse 17, it tells us that he was a young man. Just like the young men of 1 John chapter 2, this man was a young man. And he said unto him, "If thou wilt enter in to life," and it's got the definite article "the" before it, and that is the same combination of that we find in 1 John chapter 2, when John says, "For the life, that eternal life." These two portions of Scripture help us to understand what the prudent man was asking and what happened to the prudent man. So let's look at this a little more. "Behold, one," that is a young man, "came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have age-lasting life?" In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, he had knowledge of the Word of God about the life. That's the point. "And he said unto him, If thou wilt enter into the life," that is, age-lasting life, "keep the commandments." And the young man, just as in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect or complete, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, two things the Lord asked him to do. First of all, live by faith and to follow Him. To trust Him. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them," and they what? Follow me. This man was not willing to do what the sheep were willing to do. Okay? Yet, in 1 John, they are invited to know the Father. When it says, "Not many wise are called," that means that just a few of the wise men or the young men and the fathers were called. Not many, but a few. There was also a lawyer that had asked the same question. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, "Behold, a young lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" This lawyer was asking questions that others around him, I don't think the apostles ever asked that question. they weren't into that question yet. In fact, in Luke 18:18, he says, "A certain ruler," I think this is a reference to the young man. It's a parallel passage of Scripture. A nobleman, if you please. asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life or age-lasting life? And again, we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It doesn't take wisdom from the world to understand this truth. It takes the ministry of the Spirit of God. In 1 John chapter 2, we read in there about we have an unction. We have the Spirit of God to teach us these truths. And 1 John, or in the Gospel of John, it says, when the Spirit of the truth is come, He will guide you in all of that truth. And that's what 1 John chapter 2, in the latter part of chapter 2, is telling us. The unction of the Spirit is the one who teaches and reveals these truths. So we see the fathers having to do with the wisdom of the world, and we see the young men having to do with full of the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, we see Paul saying to the little children, It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. One thing that just astonished me because of hearing of prophecy, messages on prophecy, and how you get over in the book of Revelation and they talk about the Antichrist and all of that. Did you know that the word Antichrist is not found in the book of Revelation anywhere? It's only found in 1 John. It's also found in 2 John. The reference to Antichrist, and of course, I appreciate the fact that Satan and his host is against all that Jesus Christ and the Son and the Father and what they are about. He is against them. But one of the things that I noticed here is that John is writing to those who he is inviting to have fellowship with him and having fellowship with the Father and the Son. He says, there are going to be some Antichrists. And he goes on and he reflects upon them in verse 19. And they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. What this is saying simply is this: those whom he has invited to have fellowship with turned against them, and they went out from them. Not that they were lost, but that they could not handle truths pertaining to the life and life for the age. So being an antichrist is being anti-kingdom, anti-ruling and reigning, anything that has to do with age-lasting life. I guess I'm just repeating myself, but that's the emphasis. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, The Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times that men, some shall depart from the faith. Just like the young rich ruler. He didn't want to sell all he had, and he didn't want to follow the Lord. He didn't want to live by faith. In 2 Timothy 4, they would not endure sound doctrine. In fact, they would not receive the love of the truth. They did not develop in whom? I think it did not develop in the fathers or in the young men. The little children, they had it. They knew the Father. They knew the significance of fellowshipping with the Father and with the Son. And they are the ones that stayed with John and did not go out from John. So there are times when you're going to see people hear the truths of the kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ and not stick around. And this is what we find here in 2 John. The Antichrist came from those that were in their midst, that were having fellowship with them, but never learned to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's the key. Remember what Paul told those at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20? He says, there are going to be some people rise up out of your midst and cause people to be led astray. There are going to be false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 2, just over a page. And in verse 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. Who are the teachers? They are the fathers, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, or heresies that will bring judgment, even denying the Lord that bought them. He's talking about saved teachers, because they have been bought. They're in the family. Denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. What are these fathers teaching? They're teaching evil against the truth. And the truth pertains to life for the age. In fact, it says that the way of truth shall be evil spoken of by these prophets. By these teachers. And I'm not so worried about the false prophets so much as I am the fathers or the teachers, okay? They're the ones who supposedly have wisdom, and the young men are the ones who have prudence, education, and because of their wisdom and because of their educational background, who are you to defy me? Etc., etc., etc. So, again, who is it that went out from them? I believe it was of the fathers and the young men. I don't say that it's necessarily all of the fathers, nor all of the young men, but some of them did. I don't think that God calls the many without any hope. Many are called, but few are chosen. I do think that the part of the many can respond and be blessed with those that are chosen. Okay? So I just want you to, I want to emphasize the fact that God is not calling the fathers and the son and the young men in vain to have fellowship with Him. Okay? Now, they went out from us, but they were not of us, that is, the little children. For if they had been of us, that is, the little children, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out, and that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In other words, the leaving of people because of their rejection of the truth, it is a manifestation that they were not of us. Okay? Now, we're to continue in the Son and in the Father. In 1 John 2 and verse 22 and 25, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. These are not denying Jesus Christ. These are denying the thought of having special fellowship with the Father and with the Son. This is where they have a problem also. Whoso denieth the Son, that is, present tense, for himself, this is denying for himself, that's the middle voice, the same, it's translated in King James hath, but it would be better translated esteemeth. This is in the present tense. Now let me read this. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same esteemeth not the Father. You deny the Son for yourself, you don't have any regard for the Father. If you deny the Son for yourself, that means that you're not seeking fellowship with the Son, therefore you're not seeking fellowship with the Father. You have no high esteem for the Father. But he that acknowledgeth, that is, present tense, the Son, or talks about the Son, esteemeth the Father also. I mean, if you talk about the Son a lot, you know what you're saying? I esteem him. And hopefully in the next two Sundays at least, I want to talk a little bit about having fellowship. What does it mean to have fellowship with the Son? What does it mean to have fellowship with the Father? I think that we need to know that. Because John is saying, look, have fellowship with us because we're having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And I think we need to know how to do that ourselves. We need to be able to apply that. So, acknowledge or talk about the Son. We esteem the Father also. Let that, therefore, abide in you. What is that reference to that? It's that life or that doctrine of life for the coming age. Abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. That is defined in verse 2 of chapter 1. All you have to do is read chapter 1 and verse 2. The life, which is eternal life, and which was manifest, we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that which was with the Father and was manifest unto us, and that came from to us or to them from the beginning, or at the beginning. It's verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we declare unto you. Now, let's go on just briefly here. We'll be done. Let that therefore abide in you, verse 24, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. To continue in the Son and in the Father means you will not what? Depart. You will not leave. And that doctrine, of course, that is referred to here of remaining in you and abiding in you, is a doctrine pertaining to ruling and reigning with Christ. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, that is, the little children, and to those who have been called into his kingdom and glory, even age-lasting life. What do we need to receive or to be, what do we need to do? We need to be encouraged to continue in the word of his truth. John 8:31, he said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. We are to continue in the truth. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. We're to talk about the truth. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 43, we're to continue in His grace, that is the power of Christ. And then in Acts 14, 22, we're to continue pleasing Him by continuing in the faith. May the Lord help us to appreciate the significance of abiding in the truth, which pertains to His coming kingdom and glory. And when you see those leave because of the truth, you know why they're leaving. They're not lost. They just simply cannot receive that. They cannot receive that. I want to read one portion in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake off one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Thinking upon His name is thinking upon that which glorifies the Father in the Son. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What should we be doing? We should be a faithful servant to the Lord. We should be enduring sound doctrine. We need to be continuing in the Word. We need to be continuing in His grace. We need to be continuing in faith. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth Him not. That is a reference of judging during the millennium. That will be the reward. You've been faithful over few things, I will make you ruler over much. There's reward. There is blessing if we would simply endure. May the Lord help us to do that in these last days as we see people departing from the truth. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that it gives us light that we can walk by, that we can have fellowship with You through, and we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to apply it to our lives today. Lord, help us not to leave You. Help us, Lord, not to leave those that love Thy Word and love the truth. But Lord, help us to endure sound doctrine in these last days, that it might glorify the Father and the Son. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.